Well, we're used to hearing many scientists calling for tighter restrictions, but some of the more notable hawks are tempering their warnings. This morning, Professor Whitty said that tinkering with the rules is not as important as sticking to the current ones. And Professor Devi Sridhar, who advises the Scottish Government, has also warned that there's a limit to the restrictions that people can take. She joins us now. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
So the situation that you now find yourself in, as I understand it, is this question of compliance rather than tightening. Would that be fair?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I can understand that people are fatigued after almost a year of this, and there are also real financial reasons. People who are self-employed or who need to go to work to earn and see themselves as essential want to continue doing that. So I think for me, the bigger question is how do we get out of these reactive lockdowns, which everyone agrees is necessary, given what we've just heard from the NHS, but how do we have a longer way through this so we don't end up in the exact same situation in a few months' time and again next winter?
Okay, well, many of us might have been presuming that that's where the vaccine comes in and this will be the last one because the vaccine is arriving. The cavalry is here.
Well, vaccine is amazing news. We have 3 approved vaccines and we should all be really thrilled about that. But it will take a long time to roll these out. So even going with, you know, the English Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, saying by next fall they want to vaccinate all adults, they would have to be vaccinating about 3 million people a week to get to that point. And right now we're about at 300,000 a week. So we're way off that kind of metric. And so regardless of what happens with the vaccine over the next 6 months to year, we still are going to have to live with some form of restrictions until we can get a functioning test and trace system, until we have, you know, border checks in place, we don't keep receding infections, as well as the threat of new variants and strains emerging either here or somewhere else where our vaccines may not protect against them. So there are a lot of unknowns, which means we have to have other strategies as well, not just vaccinate.
Okay, but if you are removing 88% of the most vulnerable, which is effectively the aim of vaccinating the sort of the high priority groups by the middle of February, surely the whole risk profile of the disease has just changed so much that people are quite happy, the NHS won't be overwhelmed, and people are happy to take the risk as they go about their business.
Well, that's a really careful one, because your NHS hospitalization rate can still go up with younger people, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who might need oxygen or supportive care. And so allowing an uncontrolled epidemic through younger populations will still fill up your hospitals, even with children. We've seen in the United States that over 1,000 kids have been hospitalized with very serious pediatric condition, which is rare if you keep your prevalence low, but which jumps if you have an uncontrolled epidemic. And so I think here we have to be cautious with saying, okay, we're going to protect people from dying, but that doesn't solve, you know, 2 other issues, which is one, your hospitalization rate of how many people who will just need care. They will survive, but they need care, as well as long COVID, you know, the morbidity associated with this virus where people can struggle for months with symptoms and which we don't fully understand yet.
Okay, but I'm struggling then to understand what it is you are proposing, because from the sounds of it, you're saying restrictions are here to stay. How then do we get what you've also acknowledged is essential for humans, which is the social life that we all need?
Well, it's basically the same thing I've been saying since February, March, which is following the East Asia Pacific model, which is saying there's no acceptable level of infection. The more virus that's circulating, the more chances there are of mutations and of escaping our current natural immune response or vaccine response. And it requires 3 things. At this point in time, it requires a lockdown to protect health services and to get those numbers low. Once we get them low, we need a functional test, trace, isolate system. We're still struggling with getting test results back within a day. It can take several days, as well as isolation, paying people to isolate as an act of goodwill, because isolation rates are notoriously low, you know, under 20%. And then the third stage, and we were actually quite close there last summer. If you look at the numbers, particularly in the other nations of, you know, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, the numbers were very low, England as well, was how do you protect that? And that does require having travel restrictions to make sure you don't import a new strain, let's say this time the Spanish strain, which sequencing has shown has taken off, that just sets you off on a new wave of infections. So I think we do need to be looking out 6 to 8 months and saying, if we don't want to be under restrictions next winter, if we know it's going to take time to roll out this vaccine, how do we stay out of lockdowns? And the way to stay out of lockdowns is to get our numbers low, but to do it in a way which means we have a functional test, trace, isolate system that's keeping numbers low enough.
Professor Devi Sridhar, thanks.